Again, I'm honored to be here with you for this afternoon. I trust that what I'm going to say will be beneficial to you and will help you. I hope that what I'm going to talk about these next several days and afternoon will be enlightening for you. What I want to do is talk about some biblical insights for building successful and loving relationships. The key to successful congregations is being able to maintain relationship among the members. A key to a great family is that family members are able to maintain good relationships with one another. The key to a strong marriage is that you have a good relationship between the husband and the wife. And so what I want to do each day is give you three biblical insights for building and achieving successful relationships. And so today I want to give you three of the 12 that I'm going to be talking about this week. The first insight: if you're going to have a good, strong, successful relationship with your husband, with your parents, with your co-workers, with church family members, or with people in your communities, you need to value, you need to treasure that relationship. If you have your copy of God's Word, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says something in verse 21 that's right to the heart of this point. Matthew chapter 6. You know, in verse 19, he tells us not to lay treasures on this earth. And he goes on to tell us why in verse 20. Because thieves will break through and steal and so forth. But then he challenges us to lay treasures in heaven. Then look at what he says in verse 21. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 21. The Bible says, your heart will be where your treasure is. Your heart will be where your treasure is. If you're going to have a successful relationship with someone, you need to treasure that person. You need to value that person, because if you don't, difficult days are ahead. Ron and I have been married, I mentioned that on last evening, 30 years. And in our marriage, we've had ups and we had downs. And if you've been married, you had your ups and downs. Amen? You have that in marriage. But what keeps me in this marriage is that I value Rhonda. I treasure Rhonda. She is something dear to me. And when you treasure something, when you value something, it's easy to make adjustments. It's easy to want to invest the energy. It's easy to want to invest the efforts to keep that relationship going. Parents and children will have ups and downs in that relationship. But what keeps parents working with their children is when parents value their children, is when children value their parents. When you value someone, when you treasure someone, you don't mind making compromises. You don't mind making adjustments in your life to keep that relationship going. Husbands, how much do you value your wife? Wives, how much do you value your husbands? Parents, how much do you value your children? Children, how much do you value your parents? You see, your answer, what you value, will determine how much effort you're going to put into that relationship. What you value will determine how much energy you're going to put into that relationship. And so this morning, what is one way to keep a relationship going is that you have to value your relationship. Turn to Genesis chapter 39. Look at verses 7, 8, and 9. And here's the question. Then you answer. Why didn't Joseph sleep with Potiphar's wife? Why? Well, you've been taught not to do something. But you know you can be taught not to do something and know that something is wrong and know something is right. But what really makes you do the right thing is when you value something. You know why Joseph didn't sleep with Potiphar's wife? It's because he valued his relationship with God. And when you value your relationship with God, you're not willing to compromise to do something wrong because you value that. Joseph said in verse 9, I can't commit this sin against my God. I value my relationship with God too much, lady, to sleep with you or with any other lady. And when children value their relationship with their parents, guess what children won't do? They won't drink. They won't engage in immoral activities when they value their relationship with their parents. When they value their relationship with God, they're more likely to refrain from doing things that will bring shame to their relationship with God. So again, how much do you value your relationship with your spouse? How much do you value your relationship with God? How much do you value your relationship with your parents? How much do you value your relationship with this church? You see, when you value your relationship with the church family here, there are things you won't do because you don't want to hurt the church here. You don't want to hurt the church. You don't want to bring shame upon this church. But if you don't value the people here, guess what? You'll do things because you don't care about others. You only care about yourself. But when you value something, I taught for 5 years at Mississippi State University on the state campus. And those 5 years that I taught there, every semester I had young ladies would come to my office and say, "Dr. Jones, I love your class. I just love your teaching method. You know, I want an A in this class, and I'm willing to do anything to get an A. And I'll just do anything if you just give me an A." And I would say, "Well, have you tried studying?" They say, "Oh, yeah, I studied, but I want an A." And I tried to play dumb like I didn't know what they were implying. And I remember one young girl came to my office, and she was a freshman. And 17, 18 years, and I looked at her, I said, "You are too pretty to compromise yourself." I said, "Here you offering yourself to me." And I said, "I'm married, and you know I'm married. I talk about my wife and my class, and here you're offering yourself to me. How can you degrade yourself to do that?" And then I began to preach to her and give her a lesson and encouraging her not to compromise herself. But you know what? I had colleagues that were doing that, that were sleeping with these students. You know why I didn't? I'm not going to stand before you and tell you I never thought about it. But there are two reasons why I never slept with a student. One is that I couldn't do that to my God. I value my relationship with God too much to compromise and sleep with someone other than my wife. I can't go there. And as long as I value my relationship with God, there's the least probability that I will step outside of my marriage. Then I value my wife too much. I couldn't do that to Rhonda. But really, there's a third reason. If Rhonda had found out, I wouldn't be here. Because there was another young girl. Every time she would come by my office and leave little cute notes there. You know, "Dr. Jones this and Dr. Jones that." And Rhonda would get those messages. And one day, Rhonda called my house. And Rhonda said, "Who is this Shaquana that keeps calling?" I said, "Rhonda, she's one of my students. I don't know." And we were in the cafeteria one day. And Rhonda went up to Shaquana and said, "Shaquana, I see you've been calling my husband. Is there something I can help you with?" And Rhonda said, "By the way, come, I need to talk with you for about 5 minutes. After Rhonda got through with that girl in 5 minutes, she withdrew from that university. And so, you know, so that may be a motivating factor. I want to live. But my question goes back to, do you value your relationship with your children? Parents, if you value your relationship with your children, you're going to be willing to put forth the energy and effort to keep that relationship going. You see, I have 3 sons and I value each one of them. And therefore, I'm willing to spend the hours and the time and energy to keep that relationship going, because I want, when everything is said and done, for my boys to look at my life and look at me and say, "You know what? There's no man on earth like my daddy. He's not a perfect man, but he's a good man." You see, when you value something, when you truly value something, you're going to put forth the effort. Turn to Job chapter 2. Look at verse 9. Why didn't Job curse God and die? Here's a man. You see, in relationship, think about a roller coaster. I call it the roller coaster profile of relationships. All relationships between parents and children, husband and wives, church members, co-workers, and every relationship that you can imagine, you're going to have your ups and you're going to have your downs. And guess what? You can be up and up today, and within 2 hours, you can be down and having a bad moment. But what would keep you working to get it back up again is when you value that relationship. My sons and I, we've had our fallings out. But you know what? After about an hour or two, we let it go. Ron and I have had our disagreements in our 30 years of married life. I can remember some time when we first got married, we were so mad at one another, I wanted to take Ron and body slam her. And there were times she wanted to body slam me. But you know what? We made it through those. But we're still together. You know why? We value one another. Have we ever said things that we ought not to say to one another? Yes. We're honest about that. But you know what? We truly love one another because we value one another. How much do you value your spouse? How much do you value your relationship with your children? How much do you value your relationship with God? How much do you value this church? You see, if you don't value something, your heart won't be in it. And when your heart's not in something, then you're not going to put forth all the effort and energy to keep it going. Job told his wife, "Naked I came into this world and naked I'll leave this world. God's been good to me. There's no way, honey, that I'm going to curse God. There's no way. I value God too much." It's not stated that way, but that's what Job is implying. How much do you value your relationship with God? Turn to Luke chapter 15. Look at verse 24. Why didn't that father tell that low down, no good boy to get off my land? When that son took his daddy's inheritance and went out there and just wasted his inheritance on unrighteous living. And then he came back and he, you know, before he left, he probably told his dad some horrible things. But why didn't that daddy tell that boy, "You low down, sorry son, how could you embarrass me? How could you hurt me like that?" You see, sometimes we think only about self. In relationships, you don't think about self. You think about the other person. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If Jesus had thought about himself, he would have never gone to the cross. But he thought about people like Sammy Jones, who's made mistakes after mistakes, and he was willing to die for me that I might be able to have a relationship with him and with my father. But that father in Luke chapter 15 said to his son, "Son, you once was blind, but now you see." You see, son, you didn't know. You didn't know. And now your eyes have been opened to how much I love you. How much do you value your relationship with your husband? That will determine the choices you're going to make in life. How much do you value your relationship with your wife? That will determine the choices you make in life. I can't step outside of my marriage. I can't walk away from my children. I can't leave God. You know why? They're too dear to me. That's a second ingredient. It's not enough to value something. The second insight to keeping a relationship successful and keeping our relationship loving is never stop dreaming. Never stop dreaming. Never stop visualizing what can be. You see, if you stop dreaming, you're dead. Dreamers are people who visualize what can be. And then you work and you put forth the effort. Notice with every one of these points I'm going to make throughout this week, we're going to emphasize putting forth some effort, not on the part of the other person, on your part, putting forth some effort to making that relationship better, making it great. And are you willing to put forth the effort? Turn to Mark chapter 9. Look at verse number 21, as well as verse 22 and verse 23. Mark chapter 9. Listen to what the Bible says in Mark 9. Jesus is talking with a father who had a son who had a disease. Listen what he tells this father. Jesus answered the boy's father, "How long has it been happening to him?" The father answered, since he was very young. The spirit often throws him into a fire or into a water to kill him. If you can do anything, please have pity. The King James says, "Have compassion on us and help us." Verse 23 is the key verse. Jesus said unto the father, "Why did you say, if you can, all things are possible for the one who believes?" What's the point? Any relationship can get better as long as you keep dreaming. Ron and I, when we first got married, and I think I told you this first time I came down here in a Bible class, that Ron and I, 6 months after we were married, we almost divorced. You know why? Because she married a perfect man. And she was imperfect. You see, when I got married, I knew what I wanted. I knew everything was perfect with me. The problem wasn't with Sammy. The problem was with Rhonda. And so after the honeymoon, I let her relax and I let her go because I was going to change her. That was it. I was going to make Rhonda just like my mother. Well, if you get to know Rhonda, you can't change Rhonda. Rhonda was going to change me. But she didn't know that. I was going to change her. And so we were married and things were going great. And I said, Rhonda, hey, this food doesn't taste like mama's food. Cook it again. And Rhonda would look at me. Yeah, if you think I'm going to cook this again, you're crazy. You either eat this or go. The bed wasn't made up like mom made it up. My socks were not ironed. My T-shirt was not ironed. My underpants was not ironed. Mom ironed my socks. My T-shirt. Rhonda, I want my socks ironed. Rhonda said, if you want your socks ironed, you better iron them yourself. I'm the head of this house. And I said, iron my socks. Well, that didn't go for it. Guys, let me give you some free advice. Young men, please don't try that with your marriage. You can't make a woman do anything. Amen. I didn't know that. I just thought that I would just speak and Rhonda would jump. And I would just come in and say, Rhonda, jump. And she would say, hi, hi. And she would start jumping. Rhonda wasn't crawling. And one day, this is a true story. It was a Thursday night. And I'd been on a Bible class. And I came home and Rhonda had prepared my favorite meal, fried chicken. Golden brown. And I bit in that fried chicken and blood came running down my cheeks. And the preacher came out of me. I jumped up from the table. I said, Rhonda, you can't cook. You can't clean up. You can't iron. You can't do anything. I'm going to leave you. I'm going home to my mom. And I thought surely Rhonda would just say, Sammy, don't leave me. She said, bye. She said, bye. And I thrown my bluff in, and so I had to leave. And I went to McDonald's. My favorite eating place. That's why I don't care for McDonald's that much now. That's all I used to eat the first 4 or 5 years of my marriage. But I told Rhonda, after I sat there for about 3 hours, a light went off. And the light said, Sammy, you can cook, clean up, wash, iron. You can do all those things better than most women. Why don't you do it? You see, I was going to be the supervisor in the marriage. I was going to tell Rhonda what to do, and she was going to do it. Rhonda was going to have that. And so when I went back, she was sitting on the couch. I thought Rhonda would be calling her mom and everybody, where's my Sammy? Where's my Sammy? Rhonda was on the couch watching television when I got back home. She said, I know you were going to come back. You're not crazy. And I said, Rhonda, I've got it worked out. From now on, I'm going to do all the cooking, cleaning, shopping, ironing. I'll do everything in the marriage. You just watch me. And when you catch on, you can take over. About 8 years later, she came to me. And sure enough, the first 7, 8 years of our marriage, I did all the washing, ironing, cooking, shopping. I did everything. She is a perfect housewife now. But the problem is this. We both changed. We both changed. We both changed. But you know what? I had a dream that Rhonda and I was going to stay married for the rest of our lives together. Dreaming. Dreaming means you have to believe. And that's my dream. And I'm going to keep on dreaming. Don Quixote is one of my favorite stories in literature. Don Quixote was that man who dared to dream. Some people call him crazy. But you know what? He kept on dreaming. And in a relationship, you have to dream of what can be. I dream of the days when my boys are going to be this. And I keep on dreaming. Even though they made mistakes along the way, we keep on dreaming together. And I keep on encouraging them. And that's what dreaming is, visualizing what can be and putting forth the effort to help to achieve that relationship or achieve that goal in life. What is your dream? What is your vision for your relationship with your husband, with your wife, with the church here, with your children, with your parents? You see, if you don't dare to dream, nothing will become reality. You have to dream. As I talked about on last Sunday evening, I dream of the day of being in heaven. You see, if you don't dream about being in heaven, you'll never make it there. Years ago, one sport I played in junior high school, didn't get to play in high school because I went to work. I ran track. I couldn't do a lot of other things, but I could always run real fast. And I should run the 100-yard dash or the 220 relay because I had a burst of speed. And I could always see myself crossing the finish line first And most of the time I did because I had excellent speed. But you know what? You have to dream. Finally, number three, it is not enough. It's not enough to dream. It's not enough to value someone. You have to be willing to make sacrifices. Number three, make sacrifices to keep the relationship going. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verses 24 through 27. I don't have time to quote all the verses, but what it's saying there, Paul went through these. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten three times. He was stoned near to death and went through difficult times. And why did Paul keep going through all of those things, all those trials and tribulation? He tells us the answer. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse number 14. Why did Paul go through all those persecutions, all those trials, all those ups and downs in his relationship with God? Paul said, the love of Christ, the King James says, the love of Christ constraineth me. You see, when you really love someone, whatever it takes, you're going to be willing to do to keep that relationship going. I love Rhonda dearly. And that's why, after 30 years, I'm still married to her because she'll keep me. And that's why if God allows me to live 40 more years, I'm going to be with Rhonda because I love her. And whatever sacrifice I have to make to keep her in this relationship, I'm willing to make it. I realize I can't change Rhonda. I need to change myself. And that's the third point. We be willing to make sacrifices. Be willing to change things about yourself. We spend so much time trying to change other people and we forget about self. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. Look at verse 3 and 4. He says, brother, some translation use the word friend. Friend, why are you trying to get the mote out of somebody else's eye when you got a beam, a big plank in your own eye? And early in our marriage, I was going to try to change Rhonda and make Rhonda the perfect wife when I was the imperfect husband, insensitive, uncompassionate, but yet a Christian. And so many times in relationships, we mean well. But we spend so much time looking at others that we forget to look at self. And what keeps a relationship going when you're having your down moments is when you have changed things about yourself. And as long as I'm a better, Rhonda's going to want to stay with me. She's going to stay in this relationship. And my boys are going to respect me and want me to be their father as long as I am an understanding, compassionate, and caring father. And a father that will listen. And a husband that will listen. And change things about self. You see, people don't want to be around people who are always telling them what they need to do. Rather than saying, hey, these are things about myself that I need to change. And so, if you're going to keep a relationship with your husband, with your wife, or with your children, look at yourself some. Now, what are things you need to change about yourself? I want to close with a poem. And I quoted this many times when I was here the very first time, but I think it summarizes this point and we'll close. It's entitled A Cold Within. Listen to it. Six humans were trapped by happenstance in bleak and bitter cold. Each one possessed a stick of wood, or so the story is told. Their dying fire was in need of logs, but the first man held his back. For the faces around the fire, he noticed that one was black. The next man, looking across the way, saw one not of his church. He couldn't bring himself to give the fire his stick of birch. The third one sat in tattered clothes as he gave his coat a hitch. Why should my log be put to use to warm the idle rich? The rich man just sat back and thought of the wealth he had in store. And how to keep what he had earned from the lazy, shiftless poor. The black man face, it bespoke revenge as a fire passed from his sight. For all that he saw in his stick of wood was a chance to spite the white. The last man of this forlorn group did not accept for gain. Giving only to those who gave was how he played the game. So with their logs held tight and death still hand was proof of human sin. These six men did not die from the cold without. Every one of them died from the cold within. You know what's killing relationships? The cold within. The unwillingness to change self. The unwillingness to look at self. The unwillingness to be selfless and be willing to give up some things, sacrifice some things. What are some things that I need to change about Sammy Jones that my boys will grow up and want to be faithful to God because daddy's a preacher and he's lived so that they respect the church. And they want to go to heaven to be with dad. I can so live that my boys will hate the church. And that's why it's so important for me to live right. Not only that I can go to heaven, that my boys can go to heaven. I could so treat Rhonda that she would have no love for God and the church because of the way I treat her. But the way I treat her, that I hope will make her want to serve God better. I haven't always been this way. It's just, I realize that I need to spend less time looking at other people and making sure that I look at Sammy Jones, that I can keep this relationship with God and with my wife, with my children, and with the family of God. Relationships are so important. No man is an island. We need other people. And so I encourage you to remember these three things. If you're going to have a strong relationship, value people that you are in relationship with. Dream of things getting better. And then number three, be willing to change things about yourself and not always trying to change other people. May God bless you to have a great day, and I look forward to seeing you on tomorrow.